Morning. I want to answer questions kind of as it's a bit of a follow-up to the one I answered a couple weeks ago about God and Allah. The question is, how do we witness to Muslims? And you say, I mean, the obvious answer is, well, you give the gospel. So, yes, that certainly is one way or another, give the gospel. But as we talk about, of course, the Muslims that are coming in and this potential, I know, of more coming in as refugees, and as, of course, Michigan has a large and growing Islamic population, that's, even though there are not many Muslims around, I don't personally know of any around the UP, but I'm not, there are some, yes, but, you know, we are going to have opportunities. And I would start, first and foremost, as we talk about Muslims, I mean, we know not every Muslim is a terrorist. I think we know that, and yet sometimes we might tend to say, oh, they're Islam, they're Islamic, they hate America and want to see it destroyed. That, you know, really, regardless of whether they do or not, but, you know, we don't go in and assuming they hate America and that they're automatically against us. And we certainly, regardless of whether they hate America or not, we recognize, as Muslims, they are men and women created in the image of God. Whatever their political beliefs, whatever their religious beliefs, they are men and women created in the image of God, who God loves, who Jesus died for. We start with that foundation that these are ones loved by God, and I have been commissioned by God to give the gospel to every creature. That includes those who, you know, may or may not be terrorists. As you're dealing with them, let me give two things. And the first one, just mention, Jesus in Islam is a prophet. He is not God. That is a crucial distinction. And so as we're dealing with Muslims, we'll recognize the odds are, and certainly if they are believing what they've been taught in the Quran, they do not believe Jesus is God. And until they come to that point of believing Jesus is God, they cannot be saved. And so there's, as it goes into our witnessing and we're thinking about it, crucial part of that is helping bring them to a point of recognizing Jesus is God. He's not merely a prophet. He is God. And so that's a crucial point. Another thing, and maybe some of you are familiar with it, it's something that certainly was very new to me, that Muslims practice two sacrifices, or two feasts, I'm sorry, throughout the year, part of their annual worship thing. One of them is called the Eid al-Adha. It's the festival of the sacrifice. It's a fascinating thing, and so if you're dealing with talking with somebody that is a practicing Muslim, they will know what this is, probably much better than you do. But in brief, what the Eid al-Adha is the sacrifice and the celebration of the willingness of Abraham to sacrifice his son as an act of obedience to God's command. And this is something taught in the Quran. This story of Abraham there certainly is a major part of the Islamic teaching. Now, if you're familiar with Islam at all, you might already be thinking, wait a second. The Bible says that Abraham is willing to sacrifice Isaac. And in Islam, Ishmael's the key son. And in fact, in the sacrifice, though the Quran doesn't say this, but typically in the Islamic teaching, if they identify the son, they're going to identify the son that Abraham was willing to sacrifice as Ishmael. Certainly that disagrees with the Bible, but I would gloss over that and not get in the argument about which son it was, because there's something bigger is identifying the sacrifice. They're honoring and celebrating the sacrifice. The question is, why did Abraham make the sacrifice? And why is the sacrifice such a big deal? And moving from that point, you know, again, ideally, hopefully, be able to begin to talk about the necessity of sacrifice for sin. And then you can go back further into the Old Testament. You talk about Adam and Eve. And the day that Adam and Eve sinned, God, if you will, made sacrifice. He killed animals to make them clothing, to make them coverings suitable for them. We move forward through the Old Testament. We get to Noah, and we see sacrifice. We've skipped over Cain and Abel, but you see there even the blood sacrifice. It was the blood sacrifice that was acceptable to God. Noah making sacrifice. And the sacrifice so important that God commanded Noah to take extra animals on the ark just for the purpose of sacrificing them at the end of the flood. And then you get, of course, to Abraham and making this sacrifice. And if you were to move forward through Israel's history, you see the sacrifice being so important. It's central to the worship of the nation of Israel, because the biblical truth is that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. That in thinking about this sacrifice and the sacrifice that Abraham made and was willing to make, and in the even in the Islamic rendering of it, we know in the story that Abraham was ready to slay Isaac. God stopped him, said there's a ram there. It's similar, it's not identical, but it's similar in the Islamic telling of the story that Abraham went to sacrifice his son, but instead of it being his son, it was a ram. There was a ram that was substituted. And we have we have the necessity of sacrifice, but also the necessity of a substitute, which is one of the, go back to Genesis and we see the story of Abraham and Isaac. That's one of the beautiful things of that story. And so we see the substitute, one who dies in place of another. And we see there the ram that dies in the place of Abraham's son. And so as we're talking about the gospel, and talking about the gospel with somebody that is Islamic or maybe comes from a Muslim background, there's a starting point